Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Now we're really excited to help people. And MJ, God spoke a word to you about insignificance and feeling overlooked, feeling undervalued, feeling passed over. What was God speaking to you?
Yeah, so if you're like me, you've all dealt with feelings of insignificance, feelings of, am I enough? And so I remember growing up, I have three brothers, and two of my brothers were like all stars. So in high school, they had like multiple state championships in football and baseball, and everybody at school knew who they were. All the girls swooned over my brothers. And so whenever I finally got to high school, I was so excited to be there. And I remember people started saying something to me like, oh, you're Chase's sister. Oh, you're Jared's sister. Oh my gosh. I was like, well, I mean, I am, but I started feeling this feeling of insignificance. Well, like, but I'm also me. Like, I'm Morgan. Like, I have a name. Does anybody know my name around here? And so everyone was nice to me and everyone was kind, but for so long I had this like drive to like, I have to prove myself that I'm not just Chase's sister. I'm not just Jared's sister. I'm me. I'm Morgan. You know, I'm here, people. And it reminds me of a story in John 2. I was reading it, and it's the story about like when Jesus turns water into wine. And it's one of Jesus's first recorded miracles. Mm-hmm. And if you read the scriptures, it actually says before the miracle happens, the dilemma happens. And if you're not familiar with the story, they're at a wedding and they're serving wine at the wedding, but then the wine is starting to run out. And like back in the day, like that's a big deal. People are freaking out. And so, you know, this little scuttle's going on and Mary overhears it. And so it starts referring to Mary and it says, you know, there was a wedding and the mother of Jesus was at the wedding and Jesus's mother was at the wedding. And I read that and I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if in that moment, Mary felt what I felt. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she was like, hey, wait, you know, I'm not just Jesus's mother. I mean, he's great. I love my son, but like, I'm also Mary. And, I love what she says. She's, you know, instead of saying like, no, I'm Mary. She says, hey, whatever he tells you to do, do that. And so you guys probably know the story, but basically Jesus turns water into wine and there's this big miracle that happens. But behind the scenes, the only people that knew the miracle was happening were the people who might have felt insignificant. There were servants that actually had to go behind the scenes and fill these large pitchers, these vats of water. They had to carry them down to the river and fill them up with water and carry them back to the wedding. So they were behind the scenes. They might not have been noticed. And then Mary knew, hey, Jesus has the power to make this miracle happen, but I'm going to be able to help facilitate this miracle. And so just in life, our obedience, you know, sometimes you might feel like, well, I'm behind the scenes, or, you know, moms today, you might be feeling like, is what I'm doing significant? It is, because, you know, when you think about like a door and hinges on a door, nobody walks up to a door and is like, wow, those hinges are beautiful. Look at that hardware. But without those hinges, you can't actually open that door. Mm. And so today, your prayers, your consistency, your love for your kids, that extra hour or two you put in every day at work, that just might be the hinge on the door of opportunity for you. And so if you're feeling insignificant today, we together want to encourage you and help you know that Jesus knows your name. You're not insignificant and you're important.
Well, I can't imagine too what the people thought when Mary didn't say, hey, you need to know who I am.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, no, I'm his mom. Yeah. No, she wasn't worried about who she was. She was worried about who he was. And if she had been worried about people knowing her name, I think a lot of times, this might be hard to hear, but I think it's going to help people. I think a lot of times a sense of insignificant can be self-inflicted.
Ooh, that's good. Say that again.
A lot of times a sense of insignificance can be self-inflicted because, wanting to be known in high school, right? Who is that really about? And I had the exact same thing. So I came out of a school where I had been bullied in junior high. So we moved right before high school. And the fact that I got into a new school and like people didn't call me bad names because of what had happened in my past, the people in my junior high knew about my molestation and it turned into a big rumor. And, you know, I got called all the ugly names. So when a boy did whistle for me, all of a sudden I was doing things I would have never done just to get people to continue to pay attention to me. What had happened? Well, I had been wounded, but I was compounding that wound with the self-infliction of my need for significance. And really, when we lean into who God is, allowing him to heal us, we blame the devil for it a lot, Ashton. We blame the devil for it a lot, Morgan. You see, a lot of times the devil gets too much glory, and he does. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy our self-confidence, our self-worth. But a lot of times it's not spiritual. A lot of times it's soulical. What's the difference between the spirit and the soul? The spirit is that there's a spirit realm, and it's super real. There are angels. There are demons. There is a devil. There is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. All of that is 100% true. But the soul, the part that ends up going to heaven, is your mind, your will, your emotions. Your brain and your mind are two different things. Your brain is physical, but your mind, how you feel, how you think, your thoughts, your memories, all of that goes with you to heaven. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's in our soul, our own picking apart, our own degradation. Because I've been in conversations before where I thought, hey, you know what? They're talking, I'm talking, and you know, they're talking more than me. I'm not getting my time, but I had a really great point there. Morgan's probably thinking right now, but I have a really great point right here, you know, because like, why is Pastor Nicole talking, or Ashton might be thinking, I haven't talked yet. Really, that's our vowing for significance. And that's us going after things. And self-ambition is good, but significance, a search for significance isn't necessarily good, because to God, you were created with a purpose. You were created on purpose. If you were created, if you're created wherever you're at today, just say amen, right?
Amen.
You were created. So if you were created, you were created with a purpose. And God says your purpose is twofold. In Ephesians 2, he says, I have created you to do good works. And other places in the word, it says, I have created you to praise me. So our search for significance really can boil down to 2 points. And those 2 points are this. The first one is, we're just supposed to be working for Jesus like Mary did.
Yeah.
Right? It's whatever he says do that. And that means whatever he says do, that's what we should be doing. And the other thing is to praise him, not praise us. However, we were also created to receive the kabod, the glory of God, and reflect the glory of God. But I know, Ashton, you're a teenager. So we talked about when we were in high school. You're in high school right now. Have you ever felt insignificant? And maybe how did MJ help you, or me help you, or dad, how did your brother, how did somebody help you through that?
Well, I can't pinpoint like an exact time that I felt insignificant, but to be honest, I feel insignificant and insecure all the time. For example, right now, I am not a speaker. I don't like to talk in front of people. I am very outspoken when it comes to people that I know, but if I don't know you, usually I'm just locked up, zip tight, throw away the key. But I can sing on stage all day long and not miss a beat. So it's pretty weird that like I don't feel comfortable doing this, but definitely right now I feel insecure and insignificant. But I think at the end of the day, whenever you feel this way, the only way to fix it is going to God about it, because you can't make yourself feel significant. As much as you want to listen to Lizzo and pump yourself up and be like, yeah, I'm great, like, you're not going to feel significant, because our significance comes from God.
But babe, I'm so proud of you. There is more wisdom in you than you know. And I say that to Ashton and everybody else who's listening.
That's so good. I can totally relate. Like, I feel like insignificance also is kind of rooted in, you know, I don't know how people feel about me or how I feel about myself. And whenever you really boil that down, it's pride. Mm-hmm. And you know, my mom she always gets so embarrassed when I tell this story, but I remember whenever we were kids, I grew up with, you know, my mom raised all 6 of us, and the struggle was real. So we would go places, and I remember what it's like, you know, for her to have to call the bank to just check our account and make sure before we went to McDonald's fine dining drive-through for the dollar menu, she would have to call and just to make sure we had money in her account, because this, you know, don't you hate that feeling of giving somebody your card and then they swipe the card and then, oh, we're so sorry. You know, the card was declined, or, you know, there's insufficient funds. It's like, what an embarrassing thing. But my mom worked so hard for us. And, you know, there's a, she hates when I tell this story also, but we used to eat the pizza and we loved pizza. It was the easiest way to feed six kids, you know, cheapest way to do it, to get everybody fed. And my mom used to say, well, make sure you guys save your pizza crust for me because pizza crust is my favorite part of the pizza. And so we would always give her our pizza crust. But then later we all got older, we all got jobs, you know, and everybody grew up and money wasn't as tight. And I remember trying to give my mom a piece of the pizza crust and her saying, oh no, I don't eat the pizza crust. And we all kind of stopped and looked at each other and were like, Mom, pizza crust is your favorite part of the pizza. Hello. Mm-hmm. And her kind of curling into herself with embarrassment and saying, well, you know, kids, we didn't have a lot of money back then. And so to make sure you guys got to eat, you know, I wanted you guys to get the best part of the pizza. So I would eat the pizza crust, you know? And so she thought she was insignificant. She thought those things that she did to take care of her kids and prefer her kids, you know, wasn't really important. And she cared about that so much in the moment, but now those are some of our best memories. Mm-hmm. Those make us appreciate our mom even more. And, I just, you know, for anybody who's out there today feeling like, you know, is what I'm doing making a difference? Mm-hmm. You know, what you do in private, God sees in public. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the reward is coming for you. Now my mom can order whatever kind of pizza she wants, all the toppings, stuffed crust, upgrade it, add some cinnamon sticks.
And some wings.
All of that. But, you know, we went through a season of the dollar menu and checking and making sure we had enough money to now God has brought us through that. But I remember her always saying, you know what? My job is not my source. God is my source. With tears in her eyes. I remember we were in an old Plymouth minivan that you had to push to get it to start. And she would stop and say, kids, God is our source. Before she'd call the bank, she would say, God is our source. So, you know, we're going to eat tonight. And even if we all shared something, we got to eat because she, you know, we just fought through that, some of that insignificance.
You know, I love that. And I remember my mom back when we were, there was three of us then, a fourth one on the way, right? Our brand new car was a sideswiped station wagon with the wood grain paneling on the one side. And I remember being mortified about that because to me, I was just like, why would you guys buy a wrecked car? I mean, I don't even understand. And this is embarrassing. And I think for every parent out there, parents, moms, dads, grandmas, people raising kids, aunts raising nieces and nephews, people who are fostering, you do 1,000 things a day that you don't think make a difference, like offering to eat the pizza crust. Or they got that car so that the kids would have more room in the back. It actually stretched my parents, and I thought it was maybe even rude as a kid, but when I look back, they really sacrificed for that. And so something I remember about McDonald's, I guess McDonald's was like the glory place of people who didn't have money, right? Once a week, my mom would go buy us all an ice cream cone after church. So we'd go to church, right? We love church because we went to McDonald's afterwards and got a drive-through ice cream cone for 25 cents. So we would go to church, and for 25 cents, she would get each of us an ice cream cone. And that was a stretch for our family at that point in time. We were literally eating out of our garden, and it was an insignificant thing. She thought, you know, it wasn't a big deal. Makes kids happy after church, shuts them up in the car. You know, I'm going to collect these quarters. I need 4 quarters throughout the week to make this happen. And yet here I am, I'm 48 years old. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about my mom collecting 4 quarters throughout the week to make it happen. And I remember pinching pennies. I was a single mom. For all my single moms out there, all my single dads, just say, hey, you know, on this Mother's Day, we see you, we hear you. And I remember walking through the grocery store with Austin. And you never lived through this, Ashton. Austin would be in the basket. I'd be pushing Austin in the basket with one hand. I'd have the calculator in the other hand because I would be that person who was trying to not get my credit card declined because I didn't have enough money. So I'd be walking through like this. And I finally got so embarrassed with this big thing because, Ashton, it's not like today. It was not on your phone, y'all. You had to actually have a calculator. It was gray. It had blue buttons. I will never forget, right? And I was so embarrassed. I got so good. I wasn't good at math until this. I calculated the tax in my head, and other people would go buy stuff, and I would tell them within a penny of what it would check out at the grocery store, right? Somebody should have taken me to Vegas because I could have calculated them odds back in the day, right? But no, I didn't have the money, and I felt so insignificant. But let me talk about the fuel. You know, a lot of times we want the fuel to be public acknowledgement. We want the fuel to be the boss sits down at the conference table and tells everybody how good we are. We want the fuel to be like a bonus check or a reward check or, you know, a trophy. But I remember this particular time, a thing I'll never forget. I probably had $1.68 to make dinner. I could be off by a quarter or a penny or two. But I was waiting for hamburger to go on sale for 99 cents. And I got some hamburger and a jar of spaghetti sauce with a coupon. And I had some spaghetti noodles at home. And I went home and I made spaghetti. And I gave spaghetti to Austin. And he's like, what are we having, Mom? I'm like, spaghetti. And he put it on his plate. He started eating. And he looked at me and said, Mom, you're such a good cooker. And I tell you what. It was easy to overlook that in the moment, but I'm here to tell you right now, 48 years later, it's one of the best compliments he could have given the single mom. And I say all that to say this, you might feel insignificant. You might feel overlooked. And in the rush of the just making it happen, you might be forgetting some of these things where God's actually patting you on the shoulder, your family, your loved ones, your boss might even be patting on your shoulder, but you don't notice it because you're steamrolling so hard to make it happen. And I want to let you know, God sees you. He hears you. He acknowledges how good you are. You're doing better than you think you're doing. You're going farther than you thought you would go. But you're not finished yet. Celebrate where you are today on the way to where you're going.
That's so good. You know, some of the scriptures that my mom taught me, and I just want to share, because if God is the foundation of your life, then you have built your life on the right thing. And so if you have kids or just in your life personally, I want to encourage you right now with some scriptures. So if you're on Facebook, wherever you are, if you're on Roku and YouTube and all of those venues that we stream to, I want you to just type in and write some of these scriptures down. And if you read them daily, if you hide his word, the Bible talks about hiding his word in your heart. Whenever those hard times come and those seasons hit, you're not going to just be stuck in them. You're going to go through them and you're going to thrive through them. Mm-hmm. So some of those scriptures, you know, comment below, just put these down. You are more than an overcomer. Mm. You are more than a conqueror. You're the head and you're not the tail. The Bible says that he will work all things together for your good. So that means he might not have made this thing, this bad circumstance, this thing you're coming up against, this thing that's blocking you from your blessing. God didn't put that block there, but he said he will work all things together for your good. He said that you are more than a conqueror. He said, greater is he that's inside of me than he that's in the world. And so you are above, you are not beneath, you are good enough. He said he is the author and the finisher of your faith. He actually said he's the Alpha and the Omega. So he's the beginning in the end. So God is with you and he will withhold no good thing to him who walk uprightly. So you stand on his promises. You stand on his word. No matter what you're going through, God is here for you. He's walking with you. He's beside you. He's cheering for you. Just like we're cheering you on today, whatever you're going through, you're going to go through it. So if you're going through hell right now, don't stop. Don't stop in the middle of it. You keep going through, because God took Joseph from the pit to the palace. He took Moses from the wilderness to the promised land. Mm-hmm. And so I promise you, on the other end of this, you're going to look back and say, look what the Lord did. Look what God did for our family. Look what God did for our business. Look what God did. Now we have more clients than ever before. This job promotion was bigger than I could have ever imagined. And so God wants to stir up some hope in you on this Mother's Day. And so comment some of those things down. Encourage each other. Make sure to like this and share it with your friends, because people need hope right now. They need hope more than ever, especially in this time. So share it with them. Say, you know what? You can even just say, hey, I was thinking about you today. I was praying for you. And one of these things we talked about at my church was hope and was getting through hard times. And so I know you might be going through a hard time right now, but I just wanted to share this link with you. And they might watch it and they might not. But if they do, it could really change their life. And they'll say, you know what? Thank you for sharing this and encouraging me. And so make sure to like and comment all of those scriptures right there. I want to see them down below.
Wow, I tell you what, I'm ready to, Ashton, are you ready to amen right now?
I am. You better be commenting amen. Woo!
So, Ashton, what was the time maybe that you leaned in and you felt God? When you felt insignificant, overlooked, scared, nervous, insecure, can you think of a time when you felt unsteady, but you knew that God was there? Maybe you didn't know in the moment, but you look back and knew, God was with me in the middle of that.
Yeah, actually, one time pretty recently, my mom asked me to be on her circle of friends, which, little self-promo, humble brag, you should join that. But yeah, she asked me to be on it, and I was on with Victoria and Alexandra Osteen, and it was like a mom and daughter talk, and my mom did not prep me for anything. She was like, I don't want to prep you, I don't want it to feel scripted, blah, 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 like, I just want to ask you a question right then and there, let, you know, the friends that are in the circle of friends ask questions and you just answer it from the top of the brain. And I literally felt like I wanted to jump off a building. I was so scared, literally so scared. And so I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna say. I don't know what I'm gonna do. And so I sat there like really super awkward until the first question was asked. And all of a sudden I felt so relaxed. But I realized I had prayed right before, like, God, give me the words to say and give me just the wisdom to help, you know, these people through their situations. And yeah, I just really felt peace after that. And it was so easy and so fun. So yeah.
You kept telling me, no, you wouldn't do it. And I just want everybody to know, you're in front of Victoria Osteen, her daughter Alexandra, and me. You were so wisdom-filled, grace-filled. You just emanated a sense of peace. The peace of God was absolutely flowing through her in that moment.
Come on, Ashton. I'm giving you all the fire emojis and all the heart emojis on Facebook. I'm like, that's good.
Clapping hands.
Bring it, girl. You know, I think it's just to piggyback off of that, that it's God that gets us through it. Mm-hmm. And if we feel like we can do it on our own, that doesn't require any faith. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we come to the end of ourselves, that's like really where that's his playground. That's where he begins. He's like, finally, you've let it go so I can come in and change the situation. And it reminds me of one of our friends, Wendy. She's actually on staff. Mm-hmm. She helps with our online campus, and she is so passionate about it. She's so driven about it. And when you asked her, you know, a few years ago when she started, you know, in this vein, she says, you know, she's planting seeds into people for online by encouraging them through technology, because she has family all the way across the world in Taiwan. And so her family being Chinese, she has Chinese origins, she was always praying for her mom. And she was always, it was always on her heart at the forefront of her. And I just remember her talking about how, you know, there were days when she felt like, is this ever going to happen? Is it, how in the world could my mom, who doesn't speak English, all the way in Taiwan, how could she come to know Jesus? And how could she ever receive Jesus? Mm-hmm. And Wendy would go through seasons where people at church would share these life change stories about how their family that was far away from God finally met Jesus. And, you know, Wendy could have felt like, wow, God, why didn't you do that for me? But instead she cheered those people on. And it's like, that's incredible, because that's going to happen for my family. That's going to happen for my mom. And anytime I ever messaged Wendy or texted her and said, hey, this person's watching from Ohio, Wendy, can you reach out to them for the online campus? She was always the first person to reach out and connect with them and encourage them and call them. And what she might have thought that those moments were insignificant, she has so much seed in the ground, mm-hmm. invested in other people all along the way. Mm-hmm. And that might have felt very small. And you know, me praying for these people all across the world, does that really matter? But God sees what you do. And God, full circle, bringing it around. This year, Wendy's mom actually ended up in the hospital, so she had to fly and rush to Taiwan. And while she was there, she got to talk to her mom in the hospital room. And I'm going to try not to cry. But she got to talk to her mom and say, Mom, you know, have you thought about what happens after this life? And, you know, do you know what I do at church? You know, Mom, so she got to show her some of the Faith Church website, and she got to show her some of the things that she does to encourage people. And she says, you know, Mom, would you want to accept Jesus? And would you let me lead you in a prayer? And so she led her mom in 2020, her banner year, her jubilee, in the Chinese salvation prayer, which is so fun. You know, it doesn't matter what language it's in. And so maybe you're feeling that today. Like, are the things that I'm doing, you know, significant? Are, you know, am I finally going to see that breakthrough?
Yeah.
Well, don't break down before you break through, because God has more for you. Mm-hmm. So if you're on Facebook and you have somebody that you're praying for,
yeah,
or on Roku or YouTube, comment them. You don't have to put their last name. You don't even have to put, you know, you can just put how you're related to them or if it's a friend. But put that loved one down so we can pray for them together as a Faith mm-hmm. Church family. And just know that those prayers might be the hinges on the door mm-hmm. for that person to receive Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I hope that encourages somebody.
Well, and no seed that you sow, as we start to wrap up today, no seed that you sow is ever insignificant. It's really important for you to know that, because you might feel like people might have even made fun of you for who you are, for worshiping at home, for still going to church when you're in your living room, or for going to church on a Sunday versus going to the lake. You might be sowing, you might be serving, you might be living, you might be trying, you might be striving, and you think no one sees, and people might even be poking fun at you. But Mary Magdalene, theologians believe Mary Magdalene was the one who washed the manure off of Jesus's feet. And here the Pharisees are, you don't know what kind of woman she is. She's nasty. You should get away from her. I felt like that in junior high. I felt like they thought that people should get away from me because that's what they said. But just give God some time and let him work, right? So in John 20, Jesus has died. He's gone to the tomb. It's been 3 days. Who's the first person that comes looking for Jesus? Mary. Mary Magdalene comes looking, and she comes looking, she sees the tomb is empty. She freaks out. So she grabs John, the one the Lord loved, they call him. And she grabs Peter. Hello, he just cut off somebody's ear. Everybody knows Peter's name. And she brings them back to the tomb. And sure enough, the one the Lord loved and Peter, they see the empty tomb and they go running away. They're like, he's gone. He's gone. Mary Magdalene comes back. And when she comes back, there's these two dazzling angels robed in white. And it's just her. The disciples aren't there. The 12 chosen ones, the elite, the pastors, the senior bishops, whomever, they're not there. It's just this girl who washed his manure covered feet with her hair, who everybody made fun of. And that's who God chose to reveal that Jesus is gone. He's risen. And she turns around to leave. And she sees this thing. She sees this man. And she's like, oh my gosh, Jesus is gone. And she's standing there. She's standing with him. And she's just kind of baffled until Jesus says her name. And Jesus says, hey, Mary. And she's like, what? Huh? And then she sees him. And then she knows who he is. And she says, Rabbi. She says, my teacher, in her native language. And I just want to let you know, God knows your name. And a lot of times we don't feel seen by him until he calls our name. He's not only calling your name, he named you. And he says, I want you, made fun of woman who washed my feet with her hair, I want you to be the one to go tell my 12 chosen ones that I'm here, I've risen. The first to seek him was the first to find him. So the time that you spend in prayer is not insignificant. The time you spend in your Bible is not insignificant. The time you spend in prayer is not significant. Just because you haven't heard his voice, just because you haven't heard him thunder his name yet, I'm here to tell you today, this is a moment of ministry that is a divine destiny where God is saying, I'm calling your name right now. And I'm letting you know you are significant. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have created you. I have purposed you. I have destined you. I have gifted you. Over time and eternity, I have planned for you to be here in this COVID moment, in this world that you don't understand, because what I've placed on the inside of you, the world needs. I want to pray with you right now. You might be thinking, I haven't accepted Jesus in my heart yet, and I love what you just told me, but could that be real for me? You know, heaven is your home after this earth. Every promise in the Bible is yours. And you're never going to be alone again. It's a promise from God. All you have to do is pray this prayer with me. It's an oral contract with heaven, making Jesus Lord of your life. Just say, Jesus, I need you to lead my life. I've sinned and messed up, but you came and died on the cross so that I could live. So I will live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.